Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from our epistle for today, found in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is God's word. Did you catch it in the epistle this morning? It was sort of like a drumbeat going through the reading. By faith, by faith, by faith. It's kind of stunning that there would be such poetic beauty in something written nearly 2,000 years ago. And what a beautiful reading it is. By faith. By faith, we understand the universe was created by the word of God. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken up. By faith, Noah constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise. By faith, Sarah received power to conceive. Obviously, in all these cases, faith is responsible for big things. Faith was at the heart of everything that happened in the Old Testament. The writer of the Hebrews here is dispelling the myth that exists among a lot of us Christians today, that somehow in the Old Testament, you are saved by doing the law, by keeping God's commands, that you are saved by doing a bunch of good works. Well, that, you see, has never been the case. God has always saved us by faith. And the writer of the Hebrews is here to remind you, by faith, by faith, by faith. If you were to continue reading chapter 11, you get more examples. You get by faith Moses, by faith Rahab, by faith David, and so on and so on. God's people are God's people by faith. And the same goes for you and me as well. By faith, Abel, by faith, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, David, Laura, Ed, Jan, Scott, all of us, God's people, by faith. And the writer of the Hebrews does a great thing for us in the very beginning of the chapter here, where he actually defines for us what faith is. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Did you catch that? Faith is an assurance. Faith is God's work in us that you and I don't believe in mere stories and legends. We actually believe in the saving work of God. Faith isn't something you try to get better at, something you try to get more of. Faith is something that God gives to each and every one of us, and it accomplishes incredible things. Faith is how God assures you that what you cannot see, what you might not experience, is in fact true and real. We certainly know that this list of people in Hebrews did not get into heaven on their own merit, because of what great people they were. Now, some people call Hebrews 11 the Hall of Fame of Faith. It's the sort of record of all these people who did, we think, amazing things. They're the stories of the people we learned about in Sunday school and in VBS. And it's kind of the problem with a lot of our Sunday school stories is we don't often ask ourselves, what did God do in this story? Oh, we talk about what Noah did, or we talk about what Moses did, or we talk about what David did. But more importantly, what did God do through them? Because they were a lot that was not getting anywhere on their own. It was only going to be by God's grace. Consider, we'll use for example, Noah. Noah, we read about in the book of Genesis, actually passed out drunk one time so that his own son took advantage of him. Scandalous stuff. Moses was a murderer, and he disobeyed God's command. He disobeyed the command in the desert. to speak to a rock so that water would come out of it for the people of Israel. Instead, he struck it with his staff. David was an adulterer and a murderer. You know the story of David and Bathsheba? I mean, these are people that were not getting in on their own merits. Rahab, who we read about later on in the chapter, she was a prostitute living in the land of Canaan when Israel went to enter it. These are people with a dark side to them, and yet God, through the faith he had given to them, used them for his purpose and received them into his kingdom. We look back on these stories from the Bible, and let's be honest, we all could do better at knowing our Bible stories, couldn't we? Most of us are a long ways removed from Sunday school. We've probably forgotten the story of Noah and everything around it. We've forgotten about Cain and Abel. Abel's sacrifice that pleased God, and Cain, out of jealousy, murdered his own brother. We may have forgotten that story of David and Bathsheba and David's sin that he committed with her. But all throughout the Old Testament, we find a story of God working through faith, that he would do what he does among the people he has chosen. And that's how he continues to work, because that's how he's always worked. He works through faith. Now, our sin that we struggle with isn't so much a lacking of faith. You probably heard it said you need to have more faith. You need to trust more, trust in God more. And yet Jesus says that faith as small as a grain of mustard seed can move a mountain. It's nothing to do with the size of the faith you have, but rather, do you believe that God can actually do something through it? You know, in our congregations and in our families, we're tempted to think, boy, we need to have more trust. And we look at what's going around us, and we think that, well, not the right things are happening. Take here at our Redeemer where, oh, we need more people. We need more young families, more young members. We're not bringing in enough money. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. We need to get active. We need to have more faith. We need to step out there and do X, Y, and Z. We look at our families at the same sort of way, don't we? Well, this isn't happening and this isn't happening. We need to do this and we need to do that. We need to have more faith. We need to trust in God more than we already do. And in the process, what we don't do is realize what God is already doing here. It's easy to look at a church, for example, and say, well, there's not enough happening. But consider what God is doing already. Did God forgive the sins of people this morning? Sinners who came forward and confessed their sin. Did he announce that those sins were forgiven in the blood of Jesus? Did a group of God's people come together and confess their faith in the creed and in the songs that they sing? Is God going to come to his people in the bread and the wine, in the body and blood of Jesus Christ? Is he going to do those things? Sounds to me like God is doing amazing things already. And why is it that we receive forgiveness? Why is it that we confess what we believe? Why is it that this bread and wine, the body and blood, are a blessing to us? It's all by faith. By the faith God has placed in each every one of you, his blessings are poured out upon you. And you, as we said last week, are richer than you can imagine. Because God blesses you by faith. He does it materially too. Don't we hear that in our gospel this morning? Where Jesus tells those gathered when he says, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you will wear. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds of the air. See what God does for them. Will he not do much more for you, O you of little faith? See who he's doing it for? Even those of little faith. He does so much more that we can begin to comprehend. Martin Luther once said of faith. He said, God our Father has made all things depend on faith, so that whoever has faith will have everything. And whoever does not have faith will have nothing. Think of what that says there. Those who have faith will have everything. He's absolutely right. We, sinful people that we are, focus on the things that we don't have. What I don't have as a Christian, what we don't have as families, what we don't have as a church. But you know what? All those things that we focus on, all those things that we worry so much about, they're all going to pass away. Doesn't the Bible say that repeatedly? Didn't we hear last week about that rich fool who had everything taken away in an instant? Those things are insignificant. No, they really are. Our clothes and our phones and our computers and our houses and our cars and our boats and our cabins and all the things in this life that cause us so much consternation and worry, all that's gonna be gone. What will last forever? What will last for all eternity? You've got that abundantly. You have everything. You have the blessing and favor of our Heavenly Father. And how does He give it all to you? By faith. As Abel presented a sacrifice to God that pleased Him. Abel, who with his brother Cain, were the son and sons of Adam and Eve. You also have a sacrifice that's pleasing to God. Not the offerings you bring this morning, not the time you've given up to be here in God's house. The sacrifice that pleases God is Jesus Christ our Lord. His body given into death. His body nailed to the cross. His life bowing its head in death. You know, the writer of the Hebrews tells us something in our reading that's a bit startling. He says of all these people that lived by faith, God worked in them by faith. The writer says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised. In other words, when these people died that we read about, they hadn't received everything that God was going to give them. There was still more to come. Our reading says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. You see, by faith we realize there's something greater than what exists here. Yeah, even greater than this church and being able to gather together here and hear God's word and receive His gifts. There's something even better than that. Because all of these gifts point forward to something even better. Let's read about it. It says in our reading, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. That's what God has prepared for you. A city. Maybe that makes a few of you anxious. One thing I know about living up here is a lot of people from around here don't like the idea of the city. I remember when I was a kid, Green Bay was the city. Because I could go there and get the things that I didn't have up here. I bet there's even people here who are terrified of the thought of driving in Green Bay. I know people who are. When I was a kid, Green Bay was the city. Milwaukee was bigger than I could ever imagine. And Chicago just about blew my mind. But I was always kind of, the city always kind of appealed to me because there's so much excitement. I know that's why some of you don't like it, right? The excitement, the noise, the sights, the sounds, it's a little too much. That always excited me. There was always so much to do, so much to see. You could buy anything you needed, go to any kind of restaurant if there were, you know, if you wanted something to do. You could always find something. Let's be honest. You know, here, we're kind of limited in places to go to shop, places to go to eat, things to do. In the city, you had it all. That's how it occurred in my childhood mind. And some of us are uncomfortable with that idea of a city, but let's kind of break that apart a little bit and blow that up, because that's what God promises to us. A city. Not a place filled with traffic and crime and gun violence and all the sorts of things that we associate with the city. But rather a place where God is with all of his people gathered together. That's what Abel looked forward to. And Enoch. And Noah. And Abraham. And Isaac. And Jacob. And all those who have gone before us, all through faith, they look to something better to come. So do we. By faith. Those two little words say so much about who you and I are. How have you been saved? By faith. How do you know that Jesus died for you? By faith. How do you know you'll enter the heavenly city at the end of this present world? By faith. How is God working among you today and among our congregation today? By faith. How do I know God will care for me here in this present world? By faith. Dear friends in Jesus, we are God's people. By faith. And your name gets added to that line of all those names. People who live by faith. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, David, the prophets, the apostles, the fathers of the early church, Luther, those who came here and brought the gospel to the United States so that we live here today, our great-great-grandparents and great-grandparents and grandparents and moms and dads and you and me, our children, and those to come after them, all of us today, God's people, one and all, by faith alone. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.